everyone. Go and have a great time, kids. I still think you're better listening to me, but never mind. We could have a bit more fun if the kids were in, couldn't we? Praise the Lord. You know, God is good, isn't he? And listening to Madeline giving a testimony and listening to testimony, it's always good for us to have a testimony to be able to give. All our testimony is our life story. And we need to be able to put our life story together and to be able to thank God for where he's brought us from and where he's brought us to. And we all ought to be able to see the development in our lives, didn't we? We all ought to be able to track what we used to be like and what we're like now. Ephesians is very clear to us, isn't it? You were once like this, but now you are like this. And if you're further back than you were when you started, then maybe you ought to have a restart and get on moving forward into what God's got for us. Our lives are incredibly busy. You know, we're doing lots and lots of things around the world as well as around our local area. This last year really has been a major focus on working with the NHS and trying to pioneer alongside Macmillan Nurses. So that's good, isn't it? We're the only chaplains in the whole country that actually work alongside the palliative care team and are placed in the specialist palliative care team working alongside consultants and nurses and working out into the community as well as working out through hospitals and hospices. And we're pioneering that, and so that's been a great thing. But now, this month, Madeline and I are back on the road again, or back in the air again, and we're beginning to work out in an international sense as well as working locally as well. So we'll be out in the Middle East very, very soon, at the end of this month, looking at some of the issues, looking at Islam and working alongside the Islamic faith and hoping to show them that Jesus is the answer. You know, there are many people out there that often we look at them and say, well, they're of a different culture and they're of a different religion. If many of us were as committed as some of those, then actually we might begin to live up to some of the standards. What they really need is Jesus, isn't it? Much of what they do is better than what we do. The tragedy is their way of life is not going to lead them to heaven. And that's a tragedy, isn't it? That they live such a committed life to God, and yet they don't know the real way to him. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to unlock gates and trying to unlock doors to be able to show them Jesus. Because once these people do find Jesus, they become incredibly committed to him, because of the wonderful love that he's shown them. Isn't that lovely? Also in the Middle East, we're working with Hindus as well and Sikhs, because all of these people need it. And then in January, we're out in Thailand, in northern Thailand, in Chiang Mai, where we're having a conference at Reaching Buddhists. So there's lots of avenues in our life where we're reaching out to people, seeing God do some amazing things. And who would have thought, like we've said before, like Madeline said, that a young lad from the back streets of Worksop and a young lad, you know, from Retford could change the world. Who would have thought that God could do such a thing? And if God can do that for us, he can do it for you. Honestly, God is no respecter of persons. God's taken hold of... I mean, I thought I was kind of educationally all right until I went out the first time to Uganda, and I met a guy in Uganda, a black guy who had nothing. He was sleeping under a tarpaulin. He was scratching a living, eating some roots and various things that way. He was really struggling with life, and that lad could speak 13 languages. He could translate everyone to everyone. And so we kind of look at that and say, oh, poor people. Actually, they look at us and think, you know, sometimes we think we've got it all together. but there are people all around the world that God can take hold of and use from very unusual circumstances, and he can do it for you. So why should it be that people like us don't do some amazing things for God? Yeah, he went. I think he went out to Yemen. Actually, I think he died. Actually, I think he's given his life for Jesus. That young man. Many of the people. It's a dangerous thing for us to support you, by the way, but and for you, you know, to go, because many of the people that we supported to be able to go into some of the most dangerous places in the world have paid the ultimate price in giving their life for Jesus. See, when you come to the Pentecostal church here in Billingham, all the pastor's asking you to do is to live for Jesus. When we ask some people in other nations to come to Jesus, we're asking them to die for Jesus. Okay, so you're not being asked to die for him. Give your life to him and you can live for him. Okay, and living for him is a wonderful thing. But some places around the world who give their life to Jesus know full well that they might not have much longer to live, because their families ostracize them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for us. We're going to reach, until we die, we're going to reach as many people as we possibly can on this planet to be able to reach as many as we can to get them into heaven, because we want to plunder hell and populate heaven. Isn't that what our German friend has to say, isn't it? We're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. And that's what it's all about. The stall at the back has got my books on and various things. Remember last time I spoke about conkers? There's a great book on conkers, and I'm going conkers, I think. But conkers. Do you know what? A year ago as now, I had the dream about conkers. And for the last year, it has totally and utterly encapsulated my thought life. Isn't that amazing? How God can take you on a journey in an amazing way and speak in amazing things. That dream has saved a person from committing suicide. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Just last week, I think it was, or the week before, a young lady came into Hollybush. And she came along to Hollybush again, Hollybush Farm. She came along to Hollybush Farm and she said to me, "Do you know what? I thought there was no purpose to my life whatsoever. And I picked up a conker and I picked up your book. I never heard you speak on it, but I read the book and I realized that God had got a plan and a purpose for my life." And so every one of us have got to understand that God has an amazing plan. Yesterday we were in a second-hand shop down in North Allerton, and Madeline picked up a set of old tapes. It was a Reader's Digest. I'm driving an old car around to and from the hospital at the moment, and in it, it's only got a tape. It hasn't even got a CD. That's how old it is. It's only got a tape in. So she picked up this set of tapes, and one of the tapes is of Paul Robeson. Were you there? You know, going. The first song that we put in, we put that tape in, and we put the tape in, and the first song was this. This is yesterday. "I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts its leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree." Yesterday. Isn't that amazing? And I'm going to talk about trees later on, because I think there's a very important lesson for us to learn. So Conkers is out there, the book of Conkers. The latest book that I've just written, and I've only just finished it, is The Bride of Christ. Just this month, finished a book on The Bride of Christ. It's a Bible study. You can fill it in all yourself. It's trying to show how that the bride and the spirit and the bride say, come. So it's the evangelistic nature of the church. Every one of us need to understand that we are God's agents in this world to bring others to himself, to add to the bride so that the bride becomes a pure and perfect and spotless image. I want to tell you this, God is not coming back for a wizened old bride. God's not coming back for a deteriorating church. God's not coming back for a church that's dying. God's coming back for a glorious church, and we're part of a glorious church. The church is bigger today than it's ever been. There are more Christians alive on this planet today than have lived in the whole of history. Isn't that amazing? Actually living on this planet today are more Christians than have ever lived in the whole of history. One in five people on this planet are Christians. Isn't that amazing? One in five. So there's only four to go. If every one of you could win four before you die, that would be an amazing step, wouldn't it? Most Christians live and die without winning another soul to Christ. We've got to learn to do it. And also on there, one thing I've been doing recently is taking some photographs. Does anybody know where? Do you know where that is? No. Anybody knows where this is? It's Cowpenbeuly Park. Okay. Cowpenbeuly, is that how you say it? Coupon. Yeah, it's the pond. Just there. Yep, that's what it is. We came across it from a walk coming through from Greetham. We had a walk from Greetham, stumbled on it, didn't even know it was there. And so there's lots of pictures on there, and you might be able to do it. Everything that's on the store goes to mission. Okay, so whatever you give, and like I've said to you before, if you don't like the books, give them somebody you don't like. And just buy the books. If you don't like the pictures, give it to somebody you don't like for Christmas. Okay? But the whole thing is to bless people and for us to be able to reach the world, okay? And I'm sure the Lord will bless you as you do that. When I was here last time, I did talk about Conkers, and my friend knew as well, and he's brought a load of Conkers today, haven't you? he brought loads of Conkers. Actually, there's a couple of great Conker trees near the garage down on the old A19, isn't there? You know, right on the corner just there. And one thing I've just thought about in recent times is that one of the greatest frustrations of church leaders, and one of the reasons why the leaders of this fellowship are wanting you to go away on encounter, is not just to have a holiday or something like that, it's so that you might grow, isn't it? That it's so that we might understand the principles of growth, and we might understand that growth in church life depends on the growth of the individual, doesn't it? You know, we can grow in numbers, but the church doesn't really grow. Just because we have a lot of seeds, or just because we have a lot of nuts sat in the seats, okay, doesn't mean to say that we're growing. Growth comes from the inner sap of God, the Spirit of God coming into our life, enabling us to take challenges in life, to stretch and to move out and to grow leaves and to grow branches, that we might become something in God that's attractive. Because trees are attractive, aren't they? They're a very attractive thing. And so one of the greatest frustrations is when somebody like me comes along and talks about potential. Or even we talk about potential, because the potential is there. The tragedy is when potential's not realized. That when we carry a conker around and say, well, we've got a nut here, But actually, it never becomes what it was intended to be. And so most leaders really are wanting to look back from where people started out of seeds and grew into what God intended them to be. Not always be talking about you could be, but look what you've become. And we want to get to a place where we arrive at what we're supposed to be, because God had a plan for your life. And it's there's a lovely, what I mentioned last time, is a lovely romantic statement. I know the plans I have for you. I've got plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. And that's a lovely romantic text, isn't it? Oh, that God loves me and God's got a plan for my life. And God thinks I can be something great and I can arrive at something really wonderful. And many Christians live through their life with the romantic thought. And that is just a romantic thought. It's a nice poetic verse, isn't it? It's something that we can turn to. And I know loads of people who've got it on their walls. I know the plans I have for you. And if I was to sit you down, or if I was to say, let's have an interview with everybody today. And I want to have a chat with you personally. That's what an encounter does, isn't it? I don't know this encounter, but an encounter as a personal conversation to say, okay, then what has God said in your life? Where would you be now if you'd have actually followed what God said years ago? And what is it that God wants you to be eventually? Because the only way that you can get to where Paul got to, saying it's finished, is knowing what you were aiming for before you started, isn't it? You've got to understand the plan and the purpose. It's like coming into this room and decorating this room. You might have an idea, oh, I'd like it purple, or I'd like it this, or I'd like it that. It's only when it's finished that you can actually stand back and say, it's finished. But there was a process and there were things happening to be able to get it from where it was to where it has to be. And most leaders are actually very frustrated knowing that there is an immense potential in the church, but it never gets activated. You're a great musician, but you never pick up a guitar or you never get on a keyboard. You're a great witnesser, you're a great preacher, you're a great carer, you're great at doing this or that, and God's got a plan for your life, and he's spoke it over you, but you never become it. And what a tragedy that is. What a tragedy it is that we play games with conkers, but it never becomes a tree. When actually we need to be looking over a forest, not looking over an old nut. And that we are people who are steadfast, upright, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labour has not been in vain, and that God's had a plan for our life and brought us to where it is. Somebody said to me a question, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, because somebody said to me, okay then, Dave, you talk about this potential, and you talk about realizing the potential, but how does it work? And I think that often we talk about you should do, and never really talk about how to. Is that fair? It's true, isn't it? How do I get from there to there? Well, actually, one of the best ways to do that is to look at reality for it in the first position. What is my real? Who am I really? What is my life? Who am I? What am I? What are my circumstances now? Your testimony, my friend, this morning was... Are you listening to me? You're as bad as his missus. Okay. Your testimony was amazing. But you don't always have to stay like that. Okay. In 10 years' time, I want you to be able to look back to this time and be able to say, that's how it used to be, but it's not like that anymore. Okay? I'm not eating bubble and squeak, I'm eating steak. Okay? Because I believe God does that for us. Okay? I remember my great mate over in Spennymoor, Richard. I remember Richard preaching one day. He said, somebody said to me, Christianity is like pie in the sky when you die. And Richard says, no, it's not. It's like steak on your plate while you wait. Oh, God bless Richard. Amen. Touch him, Lord Jesus. But you know, there is a sense in which we can live in that mode and stay there. And thank God for the small mercies that he gives, when actually God's got the wealth of something beautiful for our lives. To be able to meet our needs according to his riches and not according to my understanding of how life should be. Because I've got an enemy who wants to keep me down, and I've got a God who wants to take me up. God wants me to grow. He wants me to be fruitful. He wants me to multiply. So I'm saying that Isaiah 61, and I've ministered on this from various angles many, many times, but Isaiah 61 says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He sent me to comfort them that mourn, to give beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, that they might become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isn't that amazing? So God's plan is that you become a tree. No, not that we stand still or anything like that, but that somehow we move from seedlings and from potential to the realized potential. And the way that we move from just being an embryo or just being a seed is to understand that there is a plan and a purpose for God's Spirit to dwell in you. Because if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, that same Spirit will bring you to life, won't it? It'll make us live and make us become something. Now, in the normal, David Madeline Russon, your pastor and his wife, and the leadership of the fellowship are just ordinary guys. We really are. In fact, we've got feet of clay, we make mistakes, we sin from time to time, we don't always get it right, often we get it wrong, but with the Spirit of God in our life, we can do amazing things. Because he makes us look good. He changes us and infuses us to be able to make a difference. Now, the first thing then is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Every single one of you are the anointed of the Lord. You know that. We don't believe in special anointed people who are out of it. The whole body of Christ is the anointed of the Lord, isn't it? The anointing fell on the head. He's the head. And it flows right down to the very skirts of the garment. So if you feel that you're a toenail on the end of the body of Christ, you're still anointed, okay? Because God's into anointing toenails, as well as hair, if you've got some. Okay? So there's an anointing that flows from heaven above onto every member of the body of Christ, that we might be able to be living and vibrant and wholesome and fruitful, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's the gifts of the Spirit that enable us to be supernormal. Isn't it? That we're supernatural beings. We're not ordinary beings. We can do mighty exploits because of God's Spirit in our lives. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. You say it, me. The Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. I am the anointed of the Lord, and I will rise to become what God intended me to be. I'm not going to walk about dragging in the dust. I'm not going to allow somebody to hang me on a string and knock me about. I'm going to be what God intended me to be. I'm going to stick my chest out. I'm going to put my head up, because I'm a child of the King. I'm a different person. And God wants us to walk about this world, not in arrogance, but to be like a tree that people can look at and say, wow. That they can take photographs of us and say, wow, what an amazing structure. I've never seen anybody take photographs of conkers. Do they? We don't really take photographs of a conker or take photographs of seed. We take photographs of flowers. We take photographs of trees. We take photographs of that which has grown. We don't take photographs of potential. We only take photographs of realized potential, don't we? Of trees that are by the rivers of water whose leaves don't wither. And whatever they do prospers. And that's why I'm saying, young lady, God's going to prosper your life. As you keep trusting him, he'll prosper your life. And God will give you something absolutely wonderful. In fact, I'll tell you what. There's your first steak. It's yours. Okay? Go and buy some steak from me. It's so important that every one of us rise and rise and rise to grow and grow and grow to become what God wants us to be. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. See, God doesn't want us to be poor. This is not a prosperity gospel, but God doesn't want us to be poor people. God wants us to be rich. Rich and wholesome and wonderful and being well dressed and well looked at and heads held high. And the reason for that is that we can say to the poor, like Madeline said this morning, I used to be like that, but I'm not like it any longer. I was brought up in poverty. We didn't have a toilet in the backyard. You've got a toilet now. And ever since then, your missus has been telling you off for not putting the toilet seat down. If you didn't have a toilet, you wouldn't have a toilet seat to put down, would you? The church needs to be able to bring good news to poor people. We live in a poverty-stricken nation, and even though we're one of the richest nations in the world, there are still food banks, and we're talking about food banks in the UK, because living on the minimum wage and living in that kind of circumstance is not God's plan for your life, guys. Because when you begin to grow, you begin to become fruitful. And when you become fruitful, you sell the fruit, and the fruit itself becomes prosperous to you. It's true, isn't it? It's when you remain a seed that you'll always be in poverty, that you'll always have nothing. But if you plant that seed in the ground and it begins to grow, then what happens is it begins to drop fruit all over the place and begins to produce more trees all around, doesn't it? And you become fruitful in your life because if you remain a seed, you'll not produce another bit of fruit. But if you actually become fruitful and grow, you begin to become an example to those around, because you say to the nut, you can become like me. That's true. You can become like me. We become living testimonies, living examples of what God can do in a life. Do you think Madeline could have dragged herself up by herself? She couldn't have done it. No, it's true. The circumstances, she might not have lived. She might have been in jail. No, but all of them kind of things. But God takes hold of her life and turns her into a beautiful tree that everybody looks at and says, wow, if God could do it for her, whenever we go back to Retford and we walk about the streets and we see people in there, people say, we could never have believed it could have been of you. Because in the natural, without the Spirit of God on our lives, we would never have become what God intended us to be. But God had a plan for our lives. And now we're looking back, telling the story of what we used to be and now what we are. And that's good news. It's actually good news. I remember going to a job centre one day. I didn't go to the job centre first. Talked to this young man. This young man said to me, "You haven't got a clue what it's like to go in a dole queue." He said, "Have you ever been out of work?" I said, "Well, actually, no, I haven't." And I can honestly say is from the moment that I left school at 15, I've never once been out of work all my life. So he was right. He was absolutely right. I do not know what it's like to go into a dole queue and to try and apply for a job. I don't know. I honestly don't know. And he said to me, "You need to understand that." And I said to him, "Okay then, today I'm going to the job centre to try and get a job. Because I think you're right. I don't understand where you're at." I went to the job centre and I've never seen anything so demoralising in all my life. What a demoralising setup. What a load of vagabonds all sat there, you know, and I thought I wouldn't give one of you a job anyway, looking like you look, you know, with people dragging themselves in, signing the thing, no hope, no future, nothing to aim for. And I'm sat there looking kind of okay, thinking, I'm trying to get a job. I looked on the board, there was nothing on that board. Until I saw one sign. There was a little tiny sign that said, "Wanted one day a month." One day a month. I went to the lady and said to her, "What's that job on the wall?" She said, "I didn't even know it was there." She said, "You know what? That's been there about 3 years. It's never been taken down." And I said, "Has anybody ever, ever, ever asked you about that job?" And she said, "No, nobody's ever asked me about that job." I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I don't know." But there was a phone number on it, and so she rang. She rang with the phone number, and she rang up, and a man came on the other end, and he says, "Wow," he says, I'd even forgot that there was an advert there. So she says, "Do you need somebody?" And he said, "Yes." And she says, "How long do you need them for?" He says, "Well," he said, "we need to have a conversation." He said, "I'll meet them straight away." I left there and went down to Asda. When I got to Asda, he said to me, "This is the job." On the front of the trolleys were adverts. They're not there anymore, but they had adverts on the front of the trolley. Can you remember? All you had to do was pull the plastic out, put the advert in, put it back together again, and that was the job. It's underneath your chair. Asking me why I didn't do it. He said, "What you do is you start at 6 o'clock in the morning. You finish by 9 by the time the shop opens." He said, "And you can do a whole Asda, all the trolleys, in about 3 hours. He said, for the 3 hours, I'll give you £60. Okay? I'll give you £60 for 3 hours. And I said to him, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll try it. See if it works." And then he said to me, "How many Asdas would you like?" And I said to him, "You mean there's more?" He said, "I've had that advert up for ages. I've been doing this job myself and I've been looking for somebody to do it." And he said, "There is a full-time job that would earn round about £20,000 a year." And actually, Madeline and myself did it for a while, for a short while, and then we passed on to this young man. Do you know that young man became the North Area Director of Ad Media, earning £35,000 a year, hiring people to do that job? And it was all because I went in and saw a little tiny sign, and this young man challenged me, because when God makes you fruitful, you'll be fruitful in every good work. So that the nut can become a tree. That nut actually became a tree. But he never saw it. He never saw it. God wants you to be on the inside, because God anoints you to be who you need to be. And that anointing will help you to see how you can become something to be able to help the poor. It's no good just talking about the poor. It's no good just saying, oh, well, isn't it sad that there are poor people? God wants you to bring good news to the poor. And the way that you become a tree instead of a nut is by beginning to share some of that news with the poor. There are a lot of hurting people. I'm amazed how many hurting people. Do you know, this last week, I've been with five girls who lost their child before it had the opportunity to see the light of day. Somebody's got to bind up broken hearts. Some of you women can get along and say, that's my ministry. I'm actually going to stand alongside some of these families and minister God's love and grace. People say, where's God in all this? And I haven't got an answer. I don't know why God allows certain things to happen. I may ask him when I get there. But I do know sometimes because his church is indifferent and because we never rise to become what God wants us to be, we don't bring good news to such people. We don't share with people. We don't put our arms around these people and we don't comfort them that mourn, giving beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You see, so that they might become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, for a long time, I've been talking about ministering around the world. And that's our key. We're trying to get people to hear the gospel who've never heard it before. The tragedy is there's people in Billingham who've never heard it before. There's a generation that's growing up and they've never heard it. But the one thing about a tree, that when you become a tree will be fruitful in its own right. Sap grows up through it, sunlight comes to it, and it actually begins to... If you go down, like I say, if you go down now, you'll see the conkers out, the chestnuts getting ready for bonfire night. I'm absolutely amazed how God decided to make chestnuts for bonfire night. Aren't you? It's quite an amazing thing that God did. That round about for November the 4th, there'd be enough chestnuts out so that when Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament, there were enough chestnuts for everybody to eat. Okay. Where will the tree be most fruitful? Where it stands. Here's a tree. It's got its branches out. It drops its nuts. It drops its fruit. Every tree will be more successful close to its roots than anywhere else. And if you're thinking about reaching a lost world without being successful where you are, you're absolutely mistaken. Totally and utterly mistaken. Because the fruitfulness of any tree will be more fruitful close to its roots than anywhere else. The fruit is close to the root. That's a massive statement. It's an important statement. It's important for you to realize that if you're going to be really fruitful, if you're really going to be a testimony, if anybody's going to take photographs of you because you look absolutely wonderful, you're actually going to look wonderful here more than somewhere else. Because I wander through Africa and I wander through Asia and South America and whatever, and actually people ain't got a clue who I am. In my own place, where I'm at, people know me warts and all. And they know the power of God working through my life and whether it works or not. All the other countries here is my rhetoric. They only hear what I talk about. They only hear what I can do. Sometimes they like me because I'm carrying a bit of money in my pocket and I give them a handout and help them out. Okay? And that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to reach a lost world. But actually, my credibility of who I am in God actually is more significant where I live than where I go. And it can be that the winds of adversity come along and blow the seeds of the tree and blow it into another field. Okay, so we know that God has a way of getting seeds in other places. Sometimes he brings the dove of the Holy Spirit and picks it up in its beak and it drops it in another field. We know, but generally, Through the ordinariness of life, you will be fruitful where you are. And if you're not fruitful where you are, you're still a nut. It's true. You're not a tree. But God has a plan for you to become a tree by allowing God's Spirit to dwell in your life, by you allowing the anointing to flow through your life, and by you rising to become what God intends you to be and being naturally fruitful where you are. Fruitful in this church. Planted in the house of God. Isn't it? Got roots firmly grounded in God's house that we might actually grow and become massively fruitful for God. Now just imagine if all of you were fruitful as them conker trees are down there. Just imagine if you were a cloister of trees, a forest of trees or a wood that's naturally bearing fruit. You even have to begin to pull some of them out to allow some others to grow and replant them in other places in deliberate planting so that you can expand because of the fruitfulness. And that's what this fellowship's wanting to do. It wants to reach out into Stockton and out into Gisborough and down into Redcar and out all across Teesside. But the way that it does that is by you becoming strong. Because these guys can't do it all. They'll try to, and they'll try and run here and be a nice tree here, and then try and run over here and be a nice tree over here. But wouldn't it be great if you were planting people all over the place, and they were rising to become trees, and they were dropping off their fruit, and more trees were beginning to grow, so that the whole church becomes a massive forest, and the whole of Teesside can't be seen because of Christians? Is it possible? It has to be possible. Because God said, be fruitful and multiply. Become something in God. Rise to become what God intends you to be. And don't always be looking forward to what might be. Begin to attend to what is. If you need to be pruned to grow, okay. If you need some attention in the roots, let God shake it. If there's something that you think, well, actually, I haven't even died to myself yet. I haven't even died to sin. I haven't died to my own ambition. And I've never really been planted. I've always been playing games at coming to this church. But actually what you say is, you know what, Pastor? I'm in this. Every adversity and every storm that comes and blows the whole thing, I'm here. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to multiply. I'm not going to wander off to there. That's not a tree that's established. A tree that's established is something that puts down its roots and says, you know what? I'm here. Move me if you can. Move me if you can. I'm going to become strong. I'm going to become powerful. I'm going to show this community that no matter what storm comes my way, the storm can come, the storm can go, but I'm here. I'm here. And I'm here to stay, and I'm going to make a difference in my community. So, you shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. How does that happen? Well, it happens by keeping away from ungodly places and ungodly things. It happens because you decide to throw your lot in with God, and you decide not to do some of the things that you used to do. It's all out of choices. And if you are what you are today, always remember that you are what you are because of the choice that you made. Every one of us are the victims of choice. And what we choose to do is what we will become. Okay? So choose you this day. Who you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve your own ambitions? Will you serve God or will you follow the enemy? Will you serve God and plant your roots and say, I'm going to become what God wants me to be so that we can rise to become trees of righteousness, or are you just going to be in little nuts hanging about for the rest of your life? God doesn't want that for you. God's got a great plan for your life and you can become it. And I want you to, every one of you, wouldn't it be great next year for you to come back and say, do you know what, Dave? Last year I was here, now I'm here. I've moved on in God. I've grown in God. You know when you were kids, this is it, finished. When you were a kid, you used to have a little notches on the doorpost, didn't you? because I'm that big. Didn't you? You used to measure like this and you used to have it going up. Then later on, people got posh and you used to buy them from Toys R Us. But when we were kids, it used to be on the doorpost and things like that, you know. And you started off very, very little, and then next year you came and said, oh, wow. And then, oh, wow. And you saw where you'd come from. And it's only people who've gone away, and then they come back and say, wow, haven't you grown? That's what you used to say when you were kids. Haven't you grown? If they were doing that with your Christian life, and you were putting a mark on the door of how high you are in Christian things, where would the mark be? And next year, where do you expect it'll be? By God's grace, we'll be higher than we were before. We'll have grown. The tree will be better, more fruitful, more attractive. By God's grace, it'll happen. Amen.